You know, in giving the talk, I want to share with you that certain topics that I, as a minister, really, really struggle with. Every speaker wants their talk to be fun, inspirational, and thought-provoking. But with a topic like compassion and love, it seems so difficult to come up with something that, in which you're not stating the obvious. But in a way, when you give a talk about something like compassion, it's like trying to talk about the cuteness of puppies or kittens. But at the same time, compassion, very much like love, is the essence of absolutely every religion. And it certainly is at the core of what unity is all about. And if religion is not something that gets you all excited or turns you on, compassion is also the basis of spirituality and all spiritual growth. It is intriguing, I think, to view compassion from a scientific perspective. And we're going to get into that a little bit later in the talk. We are also going to cover compassion as it relates to healing. And lastly, I wish to point out that compassion is something that is inherent to our humanity. We are born with it. We are born to be compassionate. And it is through compassion that we dissolve all obstacles, knock down all walls, eliminate all lines and boundaries that separate us from one another and that separate our humanity from our divinity. In talking about compassion, I want to start by sharing something with you that I found to be incredibly fascinating. And that is, I came across a graph that illustrated how much the word compassion has been used historically. And it was at its peak, it was used the most over 200 years ago, around 1800. And ever since that time, it's been on a steady decline, being used less and less all the way up until the 1940s. The time of World War II, at which point it reversed its path and slowly has begun to be used more and more and more in the human language. And my personal take on that is that the 40s were so hellish, so horrific with the war and disease and everything else that was going on, that there appeared in our consciousness a growing understanding of the need for compassion in our lives. And as a consequence, the word began to be used more and more. So what exactly is compassion? I mean, we certainly could run to a dictionary and look it up, but for our purposes here today, what makes it tangible? What makes compassion real? What good is it? Do we really need it in our lives? Well, the Dalai Lama certainly thinks so because, according to him, compassion is a necessity, not a luxury, for all survival. It's a pretty powerful statement. I'm not going to try to define compassion today. Compassion is so multidimensional that no one definition can capture it. And this, by the way, gives us a hint that compassion is spirit-led and divine in nature, because we also cannot capture the essence of God in words. And so compassion probably is most easily recognized by its characteristics. Compassion shows up as kindness. Compassion becomes visible in forgiveness. Compassion gives us a sense of mystery and mysticism because it brings forth a tenderness that you could reach out and touch. There are other physical aspects to compassion. Wherever compassion shows up, it often is manifested by a smile, a hug, a gentle sigh, and yes, sometimes by tears. You know, all of those very human things that all of us do from time to time. Compassion is emotional. It involves feelings. Several years ago, I was called to do jury duty, and on this occasion, I actually made it into the jury box. And we were being interviewed by the attorneys that were involved with the case, and the case was a civil lawsuit that somebody was suing a doctor in a hospital for malpractice. And one potential juror was being questioned, and he shared that he was a doctor. But then he added, he believed he could be discompassionate if he were called to serve. In other words, he thought he could distance himself from the human elements and judge things objectively. Being compassionate is not about being objective. When we lack compassion, we objectify one another. We don't look at each other as part of the shared oneness. We don't look at each other as human beings. We tend to start viewing one another as things. Most often, compassion is spontaneous. Yesterday, I came upstairs from my office, and I looked out the kitchen window, and there on the cul-de-sac was a little girl, maybe 2 or 3 years old, and she was there with her father, and she was wearing boots and just having the time of her life splashing around in a puddle that had been left over from the rain. And when I saw her in all of her beautiful innocence, so unknowing about viruses and so many other things that the world presents to us that are not good or not pleasant, at least on the side of them. And I just wanted her to be okay and to grow up having a truly joyful life. And that wish, together with my own fears, my own picture of what's going on in the world today, brought tears to my eyes, and I just had to stop and I prayed. And Susan was sitting there and she saw what I was going through and she responded to me with compassion. Compassion is about being present. We all have our own aura. We all have our own bubble in which we live and we spend most of our time. When we are hurting or we are afraid, we often remove that protective bubble and make ourselves vulnerable and ask for help, even if we don't realize that we're doing it. It is then that we are open to the presence of others. It is then that we need the presence of others and very often ask for it in some way, shape, or form. When we become present ourselves, we are empathetic and we are curious. We try to see the world through the lens of the other. And we are curious without any preconceived assumptions. We have no need to write the story about the person that we are in attendance with. We are just present. We dismiss everything and anything that keeps our own guard up and calls our prejudices onto special alert. And we are able to identify the beauty of the other person. I have been blessed to witness this taking place in others. When I was in service at Oak Park, you know, Reverend Richard Billings had this ability. One time when I was with him, the phone call came in, and he asked the office manager, "Who is it?" And she gave him the name, and he said, "Oh, Jesus, really, now?" But then he picked up the phone and immediately became real and was genuine. And all about 100% being present to the person on the other side of the line. And when I was at seminary, Reverend Robert Brummett also had this built-in radar, the ability to be present. He would be teaching the class and a student would say something or look a certain way that manifested pain or fear, and he would stop on a dime and immediately become fully present with his eyes, with his facial expressions, with his gestures. He was there for the student in a really remarkable way. And I have witnessed everything that I'm talking about right here in our own unity of Fox Valley family. When asked what's the best thing about serving as your minister, I almost always replied, seeing how they love one another. Seeing how you guys just step up for one another. At the mere smell, the mere scent that somebody needs us. Compassion is never about fixing things. Fixing things comes from the brain. Compassion is something that stems from the heart. My whole life, I have been Mr. Fix-It. I would respond to problems that people were having or that I was identifying with a knee-jerk response. Almost invariably, I would start off with the phrase, what you need to do is, and I really believe that one of the reasons that I was called to the ministry, that I was being called to move away from what was going on in my head and try to be more about, you know, the beauty and the secrets, the love that was in my heart. But trying to fix things, it's like the old joke about going to the doctor and say, Doc, it hurts when I go like this. And the doctor says, don't go like this. And I remember the movie White Man Can't Jump that starred Woody Harrelson and Rosie Perez. And in one scene, they were in a relationship. She expresses to him that she's thirsty. So he does what most of us would do. He gets up, goes to the kitchen, and gets a glass of water and brings it to him. And when he does this, she lets him have it. And basically says, I wasn't asking you to get me a glass of water. I could get up myself and get a glass of water. I was asking you to understand where I was. I was asking you to understand what I was feeling. I wanted you to share with me that you knew what it was like to be thirsty, that there are times in your life that you were really experiencing thirst. She wanted him to be present. So what does all of this have to do with healing? Well, paradoxically, while compassion is not about fixing things, it has a scientific side to it. Emotionally, psychologically, physically, and spiritually. There really is something very real about kissing a child's owie or boo-boo or a scraped knee that makes the child actually feel better. And there are documented studies that confirm when a doctor, a healthcare provider, shows compassion toward a patient, it results in positive physiological effects. It tends to buffer disease, moderates symptoms, modulates physical pain, and fortifies immune systems. A few years ago, there was a study conducted at Johns Hopkins University with 1,700 HIV patients. And in that study, the group was divided in half, and half were treated as with business as usual. But with the other half, doctors were asked on their initial interview to go in with the patients and say, hi, I'm Dr. So-and-so, and you're my patient. But I also want to get to know you as a person. And in that group, there was a 20% higher occurrence of no trace of virus in the blood after just a few treatments. Studies show that providers who are compassionate experience less burnout because compassion activated brain activity within them that could buffer grief, anxiety, and a sense of well-being, and it tended to ward off physical problems for them. Imagine that. Imagine walking into a doctor's office and saying, okay, doc, I'm here to make your day. I'm here so you can love me and be present to me in addition to treating me. And no need to thank me. I won't even bill you. As we saw in that opening video, Jesus responded to the paralytic with compassion. The cartoon captured the eye contact between them. Jesus performed many miracles, and in each and every one of them, Jesus was filled with compassion. Remember the story of Lazarus? When Jesus arrived, he saw the pain, the grief, the anguish that everybody was experiencing. And before calling Lazarus forth, he sat down and he wept. I love the scripture verse in which Jesus tells us, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek also. And if anybody wants to take your coat, give him your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Being compassionate means being present. Being compassionate means being all in. I don't know if you've been watching the half-hour concerts that Daniel Namath has been putting on for the last week and continuing until the end of March. But in one of his recent concerts, he asked the question, what is the current coronavirus situation asking of you? What is it asking of you personally? Science and governments are trying desperately to deal with the virus. They are fighting this war with test kits and ventilators and masks, quarantines, and intense research. And they are warning that things are going to get a lot worse before they get better. The spike is yet to come. Individually, we are being called. Individually, each of us is armed with the weapon of compassion. We can use it not just in response to people who have COVID-19. We can use it with people that we are cooped up with. We can use it to reach up out to those people who are not fortunate to be cooped up with somebody. We can pick up the phone and we could call not just loved ones, but acquaintances. We could send cards to people. We can even use it to feed the squirrels. And most significantly, we can pray it. We can do more than just recite words of prayer. We can align ourselves, our total being, compassionately in prayer. I believe that compassion works because when we are compassionate, it allows us to see the other, the oneness in the other. And it allows us to see the oneness in ourselves, the oneness that we all share. I have no clue where the spike of this ongoing virus right now, what the spike eventually will be. I do know that it could not possibly compare to the spike of compassion that we can create individually and collectively in response, not just to that, but to absolutely everything else in the world. I believe that you through compassion, we can create a spike of joy and celebration and an elevation of human consciousness unlike the world has ever known before.